You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Days. That is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome to 90 Days Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we've got a special program that we're bringing to you from us here. It is called Emotional Incidents Root Cause Analysis. It's like a CSI for relationship issues. Is that what it is?
Kind of. Yes.
Figuring out what causes, what's the root cause? Do you think people always want to know what a root cause is?
Sometimes not, because people is scared to be hurt in one incident. So try to protect, maybe it's better say, I don't want to know.
They don't want to know. But what is a root cause anyway?
It's a technique for looking for what is the reason that something happened. So go to why this happened, why, in many techniques in the business way. Okay. When I work, I use them like the 5 why, fishbone. And now we try to bring something new, easy to track in how you evaluate root cause by some kind of incident.
So it's not just the root cause is the ultimate cause of, right, the challenge. It's the ultimate cause of the problem. It's not just a, you know, we think it is, oh, the employee was inattentive or...
No, I joke in some time like they say, okay, my husband or my wife cheating in the sofa, so maybe we sell the sofa.
Oh, the sofa, you know? Is the cause, right?
There you go. So yeah. Then you don't want to go deep to see what happened. It's just figure out the tool or the stuff happened and not want to go more deep. And the problem recurring because you really don't went to the root cause.
Because it was the coffee table. It wasn't the sofa. It was exactly. The coffee table's fault. The coffee table had wine on it. And because the wine was on the coffee table, the two people were drinking and that caused the infidelity.
There you go.
Ah, we figured it out. That's root cause analysis. No, that's what is that?
That's the reaction. So we say, in my work, we say it's just correction. Sometimes yeah. We try to correct, but we don't do like the prevent action to this not happen again.
Yeah, I remember people would say like, oh, I had a little bit too much to drink. I wouldn't have done that otherwise. You know, oh, it was the alcohol or it was the situation or I was caught up in my emotions. And that may play a role. That may be a moderating factor, right?
Yeah,
a moderating factor.
Some kind of condition can create, but you need to separate everyone to figure out what is the more power.
So it's like a thunderstorm. You have rain happening and you say, why is it raining? And someone says, well, because there are clouds, right? And say, mm-hmm. Well, did the clouds cause the rain? Well, what are clouds, right? And you have to start going back into in-depth as, well, there's 4 types of clouds, or there are multiple types of clouds. Some clouds are rain clouds, some are not. But you start going back into what actually caused it, not just the easy, quick answer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go into, I think, what our show today will be. Here it is. We're going to first talk about 15 common relationship problems. It's a big 15. Emotional incident root cause analysis will share with you the know, can, want process for understanding root cause. We'll have a story about Tom, a gentleman who goes through challenges in his relationship due to changes in his life, and the healing journey, steps you can take to potentially heal once you figure out what the root cause is. Should we roll right into it?
Yes.
All right. We're rolling. Number one, we're going to be talking about common relationship problems. Intimate relationships that last seem rare these days. They survive only when people have the capacity to find shared ground, commit to one another, and overcome challenges. A lot of today's shows is taken from different publications, but one that we borrowed a little bit of information from to kind of give us the, what is it, background that we need to roll into the show is from Talkspace.com. It's an online therapy platform. Check it out. They offer all sorts of different therapy for couples, group, individuals, ADHD, relationship issues, and a lot of it's covered by insurance. So not promoting them because we don't actually know them, but we're saying there are avenues like this available for therapy. Megan Rice was the author, and Amy Serbus was the clinical review of some of the items that we're going to be talking about today. So we want to do a call out and a thank you for this group to provide information. Let's move on. So number one, communication and arguments. Can you believe there are communication issues in relationships? When there's a lack of clear, honest dialogue, this can lead to misunderstandings. One partner assumes the other knows their feelings, leading to unresolved tensions. That's number one. Number two, spiteful arguments or arguments, they can hurt. Relevant debates are healthy, but frequent name-calling and personal attacks during disagreements can lead to very unhealthy behavior. Let's go back to number one there, where we talk about lack of clear, honest dialogue leads to misunderstandings, the assumptions, right? The assumptions. So that's like expectations.
Yeah. And this is more typical condition for the fire start, because you have the condition, but the people is a big topic, hot topic. And then if you assume stuff, maybe create the fire in the...
You told me you were working till 6, so I expected you to be home at 6:30. Yeah, I did say I was working to 6, but I didn't tell you that I was going out with friends afterwards. You know, it's the old, you expected something, or you didn't give full communication, like one person didn't give full communication, so now the other one assumes something, and now there's a miscommunication that causes an argument.
And everybody feel attacked, feel victim.
Yeah, everyone's a victim. Mm-hmm. We're all victims. And we're all, what does that mean? If we're all victims, we're also all... What is that other person called?
Attack.
The people who attack. We're all attackers and we're all victims. So let us actually weigh that out and see how we balance and somehow end up in the middle and be neither attacker nor
victim. Victim and victimario. I don't know. In Spanish.
Let's see what's next on our list here. We have staying close and intimacy. These two things are challenges in relationships. Staying close, long-term relationship changes may need to rediscover each other. A couple may drift apart as they focus on their careers, children, different growth opportunities in their lives may change the way they are and where they are headed. Sex and intimacy. Sexual dissatisfaction and intimacy issues can strain relationships. One partner feels neglected due to mismatched sexual desires. So what happens when... Oh, we're going to talk about that when we get into the Tom story, I believe, which will be interesting. So these are two things that are, quote, problems in relationships. And again, this is what's interesting is it's not necessarily the sex and the intimacy what is the problem, but it's the communication about it that leads to the problem. So most of these issues are based upon communication.
Yeah, the communication is the tool. If you don't have this tool, it's difficult to handle other issues.
So when we get to our root cause analysis piece, you're going to see how a lot of these fall into the same categories, right? Mm-hmm. I think so. Infidelity and money. Infidelity, affairs hurt deeply, emotionally cheating also damages. Oh, that means when you're just hanging out and talking to someone and discussing your issues with your partner. A partner discovers their significant other has been having an emotional affair online. I'm going to stop there because so many people think about, well, I didn't cheat. Like, I remember a woman that I knew, she would go and talk to a really close high school friend of hers, meaning they weren't in high school anymore, but it was someone that she had known and had grown up with. And so she was seeing this guy, and they were sharing emotionally because they both were having challenges in their relationship. And to me, that was kind of odd because they were kind of talking to each other more than they were talking to their own spouses about their issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, this is leading to something.
Right? Could be.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then someday they'll be in a relationship and talking to someone else about their problems in their relationship. Could be. So let's go on to money. Financial pressure causes significant relationship stress. Constant arguments over spending habits and accumulating debt is our number six common issue mm-hmm. in relationships. So yeah. You hear that sometimes.
Yeah. Mm. It's important, finance.
And it can be the opposite, too, is it could be if your income starts increasing, you may start having a interplay between two people in a relationship where now one feels more valuable than the other and doesn't feel the other's contributing as much, and now they're more important, or the other way around. That, oh my gosh, they're what is that, advancing in their career, and they're leaving me behind.
Yeah.
More time required at the office and stuff like that. So let's see what we have here. Trauma and gratitude. Life events can place immense stress on relationships. One partner struggles with past abuse affecting the current relationship. And then the other is showing gratitude or lack of showing gratitude can also be a problem. Lack of appreciation leads to feeling of neglect. One partner feels unappreciated for their efforts around the house. They may actually start sharing that with a friend or somebody at work. Oh, I'm not appreciated. And then their friend says, oh, you know what? You're wonderful, and I would appreciate you. And that starts building this. They're building a relationship based upon their susceptibility and vulnerability because they're feeling bad about being neglected. Right?
Yeah.
So people like attention.
Yes.
We all like attention. What else do we have here? Ooh, here are three of them. We have sometimes children. And let's talk about this. This is parenting, trust, and safety. Parenting conflicts, especially with stepchildren, can create tension. Disagreements over discipline methods cause constant friction. And I think we've had that discussion before. In a past relationship I had, I being the, quote, step-parent, or the not real parent, mm-hmm. had the ability to discipline up to the point where if what I said was disagreed by my partner, I would be told to not say what I was saying, or the child would ignore what I was saying because the other partner or their real parent would not have them do what I said to do, like you need to clean your room right now and stop playing, for example. And the other parent would be like offended that I would say something and then back the child, and that became an issue. So I know exactly that. And so it is, and it's very difficult too, because there is a different relationship.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I see one comedian that they put the old issue that he have when he tried to take care of the stepdaughter, and then she say, you know, I'm my dad, you know, yep. told me that, you know, I'm my dad, blah, blah, blah. But I need a cell phone, you are my dad, so you need to bring me the cell phone, but I don't follow the rules. So, and the guy going the comedian part from the child to the graduation and the wedding, and then finally he no one's inviting the wedding because she wanna have with the real father. So
yes.
So that's tough. It's not easy.
It's very tough. It's very difficult. And you're right, because you will bring the child to sporting events, and they live in the house, and you provide them with food and money for clothes and for restaurants. And
but you're not like that.
But when it comes to discipline, no. But
exactly.
Hey, can you take me here? You know, so... The difficulty is that it's very difficult, even in relationships. Say it was my child, and here is a partner that I'm with, and I'm very protective. So there is a protective piece too, because you maybe have already been hurt by a past partner, and you bring that into the new relationship. So you try to keep that partner away from your children,
yeah,
because who knows what might happen. Maybe you'll break up. And so you don't want them getting too close with this person.
It's difficult.
So that's that. What else do we have here? We have trust. Trust issues can undermine relationship stability. One partner frequently checks the other's phone, fearing infidelity. Or maybe they're checking the stereo because they're checking high fidelity.
Cut this part.
No, we're not cutting this part. The checking of the other phone. The other way to do this is say, hey, share the phones. You know, here you go. Just share the phone with each other.
I always say, if you share the bed with some guy, why you don't share the phone?
The phone could be dirty. You got to wipe it. You know, you got to clean it.
Yeah.
Clean that phone. Safety. Here's another one. Safety is another common problem. Abuse of any form is intolerable. Verbal abuse may escalate, creating a dangerous environment. So abuse, a first sign of abuse, which may be verbal, should be an indication of, hey, it can get worse. And these are things that common problems that might need to be stopped and ended before the relationship can grow. So if you're just starting a relationship and you notice a little bit of a pattern of a problem, it's not going to get better over time. As people gain more familiarity with each other, a lot of times they feel more free to be more of how they are and let down their guard. And somebody who has a little aggressive behavior may become more aggressive. So I would suggest be careful there. Excuse me. Let's look at life goals. So life goals and repetitive fights. So if you haven't been focused on the same goals with your partner, and if your partner's goals are changing, that maybe this can become friction. For instance, one partner wants to move abroad for work while the other wants to stay where they live. And then the next one is the same fight, different day, just the same argument about the same stuff over and over is a common problem. It's also a sign of a problem because it's unresolved.
Because it's not the root cause, because I don't want to know what happened. I want to leave this fighting day by day.
No root cause. We'll be getting to the root cause in a second here. And then finally, our final page, our number 14 and number 15 common problems have to do with chores and excitement. So household chores and responsibilities sometimes cause resentment and conflicts. One partner feels overwhelmed by the bulk of household tasks, as well as there seems to be sometimes a power issue involved where one thinks, oh, I do this, so you should be taking care of all that. And then there's not a discussion about it. So the next thing, monotony, keeping things exciting. Monotony can make relationships feel stale. The same thing, the routine, do the same thing. Don't travel, don't go out. Don't talk about new subjects.
No, never.
Don't read a book. Don't watch a new TV show. Just watch the same episode of The Office every day. Oh, that's me. In any case, keep things exciting. And when we come back, we'll talk more about root cause analysis.
An emotional incident.
And emotional incidents. On 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate.
Studies show that deep emotional connections enhance mental and physical health, that a soulmate is good for you in your mental and physical health. So you want to find a soulmate because it enhances your life. Research indicates that successful long-term relationships are built on mutual respect and shared values. So one of the reasons to find the soulmate, like we just talked about, is that it helps when we talk about individual growth and couple growth,
mm-hmm.
but individual physical and mental health is a result of being with somebody that you're deeply yeah. connected with.
And you grew up in couple versus alone more fast, okay? I know say the people alone cannot grow up, of course, but in couple, I guess, the way this has somebody different view of you, just not yourself,
mm-hmm.
create more data to improve yourself.
So somebody that you respect and admire, you will actually receive, I'll call it criticism, assessment, and perhaps correction and continuous improvement.
Oh, you're talking like me.
From that person. In comparison to somebody that you might not respect, then you might not accept that.
Yeah.
And that would be, so soulmates are somebody that help you. And they're very empathetic and they have empathy. They show empathy, especially when you have a flaw. Maybe they talk to you about, hey, is this something that you want to work on or not? If you do, they'll help you. And if you don't, they'll maybe just say, okay, we'll just move on.
Yeah, you know? I call you later.
Or maybe they're not your soulmate and
exactly.
they move on, right?
In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match. It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about root cause analysis in emotional incidents, otherwise known as emotional incident, root cause analysis, where there's an incident and we're going to talk about the no, can, want response. Mm-hmm. And we want to go into that in detail. And that if you flow through this from the incident, something happening, and you know what to do, you can do it, and you want to do it, you'll get to a smart emotional intelligence solution made in cooperation with all of those involved. And we're going to talk about that in detail. I did write that in a certain way for a reason, and the smart, let me go backwards for a moment here, the smart emotionally intelligent solutions that are made in cooperation, another that can be written into an acronym of those first letters into seismic. When the ground shakes in a relationship, smartly address it together with knowledge, tools, and desire for a mutually beneficial solution. There's the knowledge, the can, and the want. And if you do that, that's the smart emotional intelligence solutions made in cooperation when there is a ground shaking event in your relationship. We're going to talk about the no aspect mm-hmm. now, right? So the no.
Yeah. So how do you know that you have a problem, emotional problem, and it is you are part of this incident?
So you got to first know that there's a problem. Is that what you're saying? So
yeah.
let's look at the no.
And also the know and the responsibility that you be part, because typically we say, oh, it's not my fault.
Oh, I have nothing to do with it. It's not my fault. So it's twofold, right? It's mm-hmm. it's not only recognizing there's a problem, but assuming your piece of the responsibility. And maybe you have no responsibility, but maybe you should accept, hey, you know what? I need to help fix this.
Yeah. You are part of the situation. It's impact you. You are part of the situation.
Especially if it's a relationship,
yeah.
right? If you're talking
yeah.
about your partner having an issue,
yeah.
and you say, hey, it's your issue, you take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people who do that. It's like, oh, no, that's her issue or that's his issue.
Yeah.
And just leave
so
it to them.
You need to know what part of your responsibility in there.
Okay.
And also recognize, understand the problem.
So part of this is, if there has been an incident, and let's go back, is that this is actually the, what do we call it, like the CSI of the incident.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say something happened,
mm-hmm.
and we go, why did it happen? And then you first look at the people involved, and you ask the question, did they have the necessary knowledge to see that there was a problem? Did they actually know there was a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Did they recognize it? And we talked about that last week. If you don't know something, it's really difficult to recognize it, right? So if
yeah.
you don't know about this was going to be a problem. And do you understand the problem? That I understand what's going on, so I recognize it, I understand it, I now have the ability to move on to that next step, right? So if I say yes at this point, what happens?
Okay, so you recognize, you have the knowledge, you know that it's a problem.
Okay.
You know, the part of the responsibility that you are involved, you have a tool to understand the issue.
Okay.
So, and then you go to the next.
So if I say, yes, I know what the problem is. So if the problem was something, was it handled? Can, right? Is that where we are? We're
can.
In the can.
Yeah.
So the can part of this, okay, know is mental. Can is more of the physical. Are you actually able to do it? And when we talk about actually able to do it, do you have the needed tools and materials? Proper protections, therapy. Are you physically able to take care of this problem? Do you have the time? Are you in the right place? Is the environment suited for you to take care of it or try to address it? So let's talk about couples. So I know there's a problem, but I don't have enough information about how to even address it. And in fact, in order to address it, let's just say there's a problem with your car and I've been ignoring it. Mm-hmm. One is maybe I don't really actually know what the problem is, but say I know what the problem is, that your battery keeps dying. And I know, the battery keeps dying, it needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. And I just know that. So I know that the battery needs to be changed, but I don't change. Mm-hmm. So now you go, why didn't you change it, Jim? Mm-hmm. And I say, I don't know how to change a battery. I know it needs to be changed, but I don't know how to change it. Well, what if I know how to change it? Do I have the tools to change it? Do I have the tools to take it out and put it back, right?
Yeah.
So that's the, am I able to actually do the thing? Am I able to take care of the problem? If it's a relationship issue, am I able to have that conversation? Mm-hmm. Do I know enough about the subject to have a conversation?
I have the ability to have a good communication. It's a one tool for handle the issue. That's can mean.
So there's like tangible and intangible communication skills, mm-hmm. which is kind of more intangible than a wrench for taking a battery out. That one is, do I have the tools innately or been taught the tools to deal with the problem? So, okay, let's say I have the wrench, I can change the battery, or I have the communication skills necessary to talk to my partner.
There you go.
What's next? Now, let's look what's next. What's next is, do I want to do something? Am I ready to have a conversation? Am I not? So what do we have here? We have, do you actually have a desire to find a solution? You know what? Yeah, I could change my wife's battery in her car, but I really don't care. I'd rather her not be able to drive and not be able to go anywhere. I want to keep her at home.
So really you don't want to do
Right, that would be I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. And then why you don't want to do?
So that's some of the questions. Am I emotionally connected to finding a solution? Mm-hmm. Right? But you asked some of these questions here, which I thought were great, which is, what does no allow you to do? Mm-hmm. Do I want to do this? No, I don't want to do this. Well, if I say no to fixing a relationship, maybe it allows me to cheat with less guilt. You know what? She's coming home late. I'm not going to talk to her about it. I'm just going to assume she's cheating. Now I'm going to go out and find myself a date. I'm gonna cheat because she's hurting me.
Oh, maybe because my finance, I don't want to split my money.
Oh.
So I want to keep my finance world not touchable.
Okay.
But I can do what I want. So that is, I don't want fixing my relationship.
I don't want to fix it because I don't want to hurt. Well, and I've known people like that too, right? They're in the middle of a problem in their relationship and they're going to ignore it because financially, they don't want things to change. They don't want to have to get lawyers. They don't want to have to split money. They don't want to have to move out of their house. They don't want to have to sell the house. They don't want to have to deal with their friends and family knowing about it and asking them questions. So they'd rather
So it's better to not do Ruko's analysis. So delete the show. Don't keep going watching and stay in your place.
And then the second part about this, and I think this was part of what we just said, is what happens? What kind of investment is there if you say yes? If I say, yes, I want to fix this. Mm-hmm. So now you have the knowledge, you have the tools, and yes, I want to fix it. Well, part of weighing that is, if I say yes, how much time is it going to take?
It's commitment.
How much money is it going to take?
Yeah.
What do I lose? I lose other options.
Yeah.
Are those really great options, or do I just think they are great options? So part of deciding whether I want to do something or not is what's the end result.
Mm-hmm.
What do I lose by not saying no? What do I have to invest by saying yes? But going back to if there is a problem, and we talk about this in a company, if there's a problem in the company and something wasn't done, was it because the employee didn't have the knowledge? They didn't even recognize there was a problem and they didn't recognize how to fix it. They didn't have the tools to do it. It was unsafe to touch. They weren't sure of how to do it. They needed another person to help them and they weren't there.
So much.
There's that. And then finally, let's say they had all that. Again, going back to the battery. They knew how to change the battery. They knew that the battery was needed to be changed. They had the new battery. They had the tools to do it. But the maintenance department decided, you know what? I just want to go home. I want to go home
it's
and have a
Friday,
good weekend. It's
Friday. 4 p.m. Come on. Monday we figure out.
Right. If I said yes, what that's going to mean is I'm going to have to spend two more hours doing this. So that is the want. Again, do I know and recognize there's a problem and know how to fix it if there is? Number two, do I have the tools, the time, the space necessary to do it? Am I able to do it? And number three, do I want to? And these are the three things that usually cause what happens mm-hmm. to happen in a relationship or in a business situation.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
It is. Finally, let's look at the whole process together. And let's go through this, which is, what happens if we get to the no,
mm-hmm.
right? So now we're in, something happens and we're in the no. Do we know what's going on? I had somebody's, like my wife's upset or one of my kids is having an issue and they just are really angry all the time. Do I know what's going on? And do I have the ability to know what's going on? What happens if my answer to myself when I ask that question is no, I don't know what's going on and you know, what do I do?
Okay, so in this moment, I guess, is your attitude at the situation, because some people, I don't know, I don't wanna know. Versus, I wanna be curious, I wanna know.
So this is getting back to one of those things that has been talked about by many people, which is, do I know I don't know something?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know, I don't know. I don't know that I don't know. Now I know, let's just pretend I know I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do I need to know? Well, sometimes you know that I don't know it, but sometimes you then get to the next step, which is I know what I need to know. Meaning if I read this book, Excellence, or this book, 90 Day Soulmate, I will learn what I need to know. So now I know that I need to know this, but I know that I don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another level. And now it's, do I want to learn what's in here?
Yeah.
So we go back to the analysis, and the knowing that you don't know can be an incident within the knowing phase of root cause analysis. And now you look at, what will it take for me to know what I need to know? Can I learn? Do I have the ability to get the right books and get the right people and get the right training? Do I have that? And do I want to do it in order to know, right? So
mm-hmm.
every piece of this is also a subloop as well.
Yeah. And also some people, I don't wanna judge, but sometimes wanna leave and don't know, because it's also, we see the program before 2 weeks ago about mechanism of defense.
Yes.
Okay. So
it's
some kind of protection. So it's better, unconscious, I say, it's not intentional, they stay in the, I don't know, because I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be open this back, because maybe it's a Holocaust too, you know, it's a bomb. And so I prefer unconscious to live, I don't know.
I don't know. Is it easier to live, I don't know? I don't know.
But it's dangerous to live so long time in this situation, because if you don't know what you want, the life put you in the way that you don't want because you don't know what you want.
And with that, I know that I want to go to break right now at 90 Days with Lizette
and Jim.
And we'll be right back after this.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Oh my gosh, we're talking today about emotional incident, root cause analysis. Now we're going to talk about Tom, the story of Tom. You want to talk about Tom?
Yeah, go
ahead. Let's see what we can learn about a relationship and where there might be a challenge going on, a problem, a common problem, and how root cause analysis might help. Tom, a dedicated technical salesman from Charlotte, had spent over 25 years building a stable career and a loving family. He and his wife, Emily, had three children, Hannah, now 23, in med school. Wow, that's going to cost a lot, huh? Jake, 17, a high school senior, about to go to college or maybe do something that costs money. And Lily, a 14-year-old spirited freshman, going through all those things of the young adolescent ages that they do. Every year, this family sent out beautiful Christmas cards and holiday cards to their friends and family, showing their happy faces on those cards and how they were growing year after year. 2 years ago, Tom, however, had the unfortunate incident as his life was turned upside down when he lost his job that he had had for 25 years. So after 25 years, the company had gone under a massive reorganization, restructuring, and Tom found himself among those laid off. He was out of work for nearly a year before he was able to find a job. The strain of unemployment was wearing on his spirit and, of course, the interaction with him and his family, as well as their finances. Emily, a stay-at-home mom, tried to keep things together as best she could, but stress began to seep into their marriage. Finally, after a year, Tom secured a new job, but it was in Raleigh, a two-hour drive from their home. The position required him to stay in Raleigh for 3 to 4 days a week, renting a small apartment there and leaving his family behind Monday mornings and showing up again on Wednesday, Thursday night, missing practices, time at home, discussions, and relaxation at night. The physical distance mirrored an emotional gap that began to grow between Tom and Emily. It brought some financial relief, but introduced a new kind of strain. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about number one. Number one, we're going to talk about a communication breakdown. Tom and Emily struggled to maintain effective communication. Distance and exhaustion led to fewer meaningful conversations. Misunderstandings started to arise. Unexpressed frustrations accumulated. Tom, who was relieved to be employed again, struggled with the guilt and fatigue, which left him distracted and less communicative when he was home. Emily felt increasingly isolated. Her attempts to share her burdens and feelings often met with Tom's tired and preoccupied responses. So what's the impact of that? And the impact of that is lack of, and we'll go back to that, lack of communication created emotional distance. Emily ended up feeling isolated, unheard, deepened resentment, even though she may have not known why. You know, he's trying his hardest to do this, and she's feeling the frustration of it all, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this interplay between the two of them. Let's go to the next slide here. We're going to talk about what else? Arguments and resentment. And we talked about that before and some of the common problems that the communication breakdown led to increased arguments about responsibilities and family involvement. Emily felt like a single parent, shouldering the burdens of raising their teenagers and managing household tasks by herself. The resentment built up as Emily saw Tom's absences as neglect rather than being responsible as the breadwinner of the family. He was also disconnected when he was present, or more so. Constant conflicts about his lack of involvement and support eroded their emotional bond. So the emotional bond was eroded, and the frustration and loneliness of Emily increased, leading to vulnerability. She was now becoming vulnerable. So before she was resentful, now she's becoming vulnerable because she's feeling neglected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the next slide here, which is not staying close because of change. This is another struggle between people that because of change and they did not have the ability to stay close, struggle to adapt to changes in the relationship. The physical separation led to emotional drifting apart. Efforts to stay close were undermined by fatigue and unaddressed issues. And finally, this emotional distance increased susceptibility of Emily seeking intimacy elsewhere. And let's see how that plays out, huh? In Raleigh, Tom tried to make the best of his situation. He frequented a local diner, struck up conversations with colleagues, and attempted to create an semblance of a home in a small apartment. He would talk to Emily every night on the phone and the kids as often as he could, but his lack of presence there, actually at home, was creating an impact. He felt lonely as well as she did. Nights in Raleigh were quiet, and he was always thinking about Emily and the kids, wondering if they were coping as well as they claimed they were. Unbeknownst to Tom, Emily had found solace in somebody else. Mark, her chiropractor and friend for many years, began to spend more time at their house. He helped Emily with chores, listened to her frustrations, and offered a shoulder to lean on. What started as innocent support turned into an emotional affair as she became emotionally connected to Mark. Emily found in Mark the companionship and understanding she felt was missing from her marriage. Tom was oblivious to the growing bond between Emily and Mark. He noticed she was increasingly distant and her mood would swing, but he attributed them to stress and their new lifestyle. He made efforts to bridge the gap, planned date nights, surprise visits, and heartfelt conversations, but the underlying issues remained unaddressed and the distance grew. So that is the not staying close.
I hear some psychology recommendation. It's good to have almost every 3 months some kind of dinner when you talk in this topic. That sometimes people don't like to talk. I make up the channel communication to the way to go deep and see how you feel with me, how I feel with you, versus the stay 20, 45 years together with somebody, no topic is in the table, you know?
So how do you have a relationship for 25 years and not have a connection? And does it change?
Because the routine. So the routine become overwhelmed. And you assume everything is okay because it's nothing happened. And then the routine create lose the connection. You put in there, I guess routine is number 3 or 4.
Routine.
Yeah.
It could be the routine changes and you're not used to it and it starts pushing you away. So let's look at what are some steps people can take though to connect, reconnect. Mm-hmm. You want to look at those?
Yes, please.
Let's look at those. Number one, step one, beginning the journey to get back together and reconnect. Start simple. Dedicate yourself to the process of fixing the relationship. Number one, you got to want to fix the relationship. Take ownership. Each partner must take responsibility for their contribution. It is a relationship, not an isolationship. Mm-hmm. Professional help. Consider an impartial professional to guide the journey, whether telehealth, teletherapy, in-person therapy, whether group, individual, or couples therapy. Sometimes the best thing to do is start by yourself and have the therapist help you determine how to maybe get the couple involved or your partner involved in that therapy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How about number two? Effective communication. Politeness. Say please and thank you. Don't let things disintegrate into an argument. Respect. Express dissatisfaction without using profanity or name-calling. And I think most people do. Quality time. Schedule regular date nights, even at home. That almost sounds like what you said just a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was smart. Smart solutions. Rediscovering love. Intimacy. Be proactive about pleasing your partner sexually. Curiosity. Spend time asking about each other's wants and needs. And finally, reflect. Reflect. Remember what first attracted you and address core issues honestly. One of the things I think I always bring up is that if two people look back at what attracted them, you remember like we did, what does every divorce start with? If you remember, start with Mary and start with two people who are in love to a point where they get married. And if you can go back and reflect on the time of any relationship you were at the beginning and how utterly in love you were and go, hey, you know what? I want to get back to that. Do you want to get back to that? And the other person may say, nah, I don't want to. So it takes two people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's called a relationship, right? Partners.
Yeah, and also I always say you grow more in being couple versus alone.
You do. And cooperation too, yeah. Right? Cooperation. And finally, let's just get back to the emotional incident root cause analysis. Looking at any of this stuff, the incident being that Emily and Tom started separating, and actually Emily had an affair with Mark. So Tom's wife having an affair, that would be an incident. And if you look at it from Tom's point of view, and actually hers, but let's look at it from Tom's point of view, did he recognize what was happening? And the answer was no, he didn't. He just thought it was a normal process of what was happening because they were distant and because of the stresses in their life. He didn't notice. He didn't see it happening. Could he do something about it? Well, if you got to know about it before you can do anything about it.
Yeah.
Can you do something about it in isolation of the other person?
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, our seismic thing was in cooperation, right? So you needed to be in cooperation with the other person. And then finally, do you want to do something about it? And if it's in cooperation with somebody else, do they want to do something about it? So I will go back to our slide with what I call our seismic point here, and we look at the incident with the knowledge, with the ability, the can, and with the want. You can have smart, emotional, intelligent solutions made in cooperation with your partner. So once you do your emotional incident root cause analysis of what caused the problem, if you flow through with the knowledge, the ability, and the desire to solve it, you can come up with smart, emotional, intelligent solutions made in cooperation with your partner.
Yes, working in team.
Working in team. I want to thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Liz.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.